WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode number 34 of the Newport Music Festival's... Festivals. That's pretty good the way I said that. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to episode number 34 of the Newport Music Festival's special series here on WCRI. I'm Mike Mano, very pleased to be sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. Welcome back, Pamela.
Mike, we've become like such a partnership. I love this.
It's a team. It's
we a team are a team.
Thing, a team thing going on. And what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, let's see. It's mid-September, and so what is coming upon us?
Well, let's see. I would think the different seasons, the fall, the summer is passing.
There we go. You got it right.
I got it right.
We're going to talk about the fall.
Do I win a vacation trip?
Oh, I wish I could give it to you.
Okay. Well.
So this evening we're talking about composers who all wrote pieces based on the seasons. Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky is widely considered the most popular Russian composer. As you know, he wrote lots of ballet music like The Nutcracker, Sleeping Beauty, Swan Lake. He was born in 1840 and died in 1893. He started playing piano when he was just 5 years old. And after that, he showed an early passion for music. His parents, however, hoped he wouldn't be a musician because at that time, it wasn't really something you studied. So they were hoping that he'd go into the civil service and have a good job. However, his mother died. And when he was 14, he actually honored his mother's wish by taking up a bureau clerk post with the Ministry of Justice. However, when he was 21 and could kind of stand on his own two feet, he decided to take lessons at the Russian Musical Society. And a few months later, he enrolled at the St. Petersburg Conservatory, which had just been established, and he became one of the school's first composition students. What a composition student to have right up front.
Right. That was kind of a late start, actually.
Actually, it was, yeah. But I think that because of his history and his family really pushing in one direction. However, he was composing this whole time. He was playing the piano a great deal, and so this was sort of his, you know, his side, his hobby, which of course, you know, became mainstream. And so after he studied at St. Petersburg, he moved to Moscow, and he became a professor of harmony at the Moscow Conservatory. So he established himself and continued to write all kinds of music. So quite quickly, his pieces became popular. And he ended up staying at the Moscow Conservatory until 1878. What was interesting is he then retired from teaching so that he could only compose. And the reason he could afford to do so was a wealthy widow named von Meck provided him with a monthly allowance until 1890, but her arrangement stipulated that they could never meet.
Wow.
A secret sort of benefactress.
Huh.
And she made sure that, because she had heard his pieces and things, so she made sure that he was able to compose. This piece that we're going to listen to this evening, The Seasons, it's a piano cycle, and he wrote it between December 1875 and May 1876. So this was before he could afford to just compose. So he was really dependent upon some kind of a living. And he wrote them in monthly installments for the St. Petersburg Journal called Nouveliste. The publisher, Nikolai Bernard, actually commissioned them from him, and he wanted one a month. And this is from Tchaikovsky's letter to Bernard's proposal. He writes to Bernard, "I've received your letter. I am most grateful for your courtesy and readiness to pay me such a high fee. So long as I am spared, I shall endeavor to oblige you. I shall send you the first piece shortly and perhaps the next two or three. If the circumstances are right, they will be done quite quickly. At the moment, I am very much in the mood for piano pieces. Yours, Tchaikovsky." Then a bit later, he writes again, "I am sending you the first two pieces by post. It is not without some trepidation that I send them to you, for fear that you will think them too long or poor. I beg you to give me your candid opinion so that I can keep in mind your requirements while composing the following pieces. If the second piece is unsuitable, then write and tell me. If you want me to rewrite the Carnival, then please do not stand on ceremony, and you can make sure that by the next time I will have written you another. So you hear here, you know, this is before he was financially independent.
He's kind of testing the waters.
Exactly. So he wrote these wonderful pieces, and I thought that maybe tonight we could hear the autumn ones, namely August, which is entitled Harvest, September the Hunt, and October, which is entitled Autumn Song. And we will listen to the wonderful Vladimir Ashkenazi.
All right, we'll listen to those three pieces, then after that, take a short break, and we'll be back with more.
Thank you.
the Newport Music Festival, the subject of our program this evening, as usual. As Pamela Pantos is here, I'm Mike Mano, and we're talking about the seasons and music from that. Pamela, before we get started again, I just want to mention that there is an event next week, but pretty much sold out, right? So those of you that have been delaying and getting tickets to events for the Newport Music Festival, don't do that again. Hopefully there'll be other opportunities, and down the road there is another one coming up relatively soon.
Thank you for mentioning that, Mike. Yes, we have a concert on October 27th, and we are so lucky that Sarah Davis Buchner and Stephanie Chase are both coming back. Outstanding performers. We've talked about their amazing performances this summer. They're doing a duo recital at the Newport Art Museum. And as everyone knows, these are incredible events. For $50, you get all these gorgeous apps, as much wine as you want to drink, a tour of the beautiful art museum, and a concert, and free parking. So
free parking. Right. Now, for those of you under 30, when she's talking about all those apps, she's talking about appetizers.
Yes, appetizers.
Not something for your phone, all right?
So very exciting. And yeah, that's going to be a wonderful, wonderful concert.
All right, let's get back to another Russian composer.
Exactly. You know, when I embarked upon this foray into autumn music, and I started doing all my research, I realized that there's enough music for two programs, so we might have to continue this next week.
Okay, that's good with me.
But as you said, there is another Russian composer, Alexander Glazunov, who wrote a piece again on the seasons. He's a little bit of an unknown composer for a lot of people, so we'll just talk about him a little bit. Alexander Glazunov was born in Russia on July 29th, 1865, and he died March 21st, 1936. So he was really the major Russian symphonic composer of the generation that followed Tchaikovsky. His mother was a pianist and happened to be a piano pupil of Mili Balakirev, who is another great composer. Mili Balakirev was a pianist, conductor, and he was known today for promoting nationalism in Russia and for his encouragement of Tchaikovsky. What a small world.
They're all connected one way or another.
So Glazunov's mother obviously noticed that her son was super talented, and she took him to study with Nikolai Rimsky-Korsakov. I kid you not. Hmm. Going back to this small circle, Balakirev conducted Glazunov's first symphony, and Glazunov continued to compose symphonic pieces, symphonies, all kinds of things. He was influenced by Wagner and Tchaikovsky in his life. So this piece, The Seasons, date from the 1890s. He also was director at the St. Petersburg Conservatory where Tchaikovsky had taught. So I thought this worked, you know, so beautifully together. Mm-hmm. He was particularly interested in the distinctive characteristics of all of these instruments that he composed for. So Glazunov took the time to learn to play piano, violin, cello, trumpet, trombone, French horn, clarinet, as well as percussion.
And what did you do yesterday?
So he stayed in Russia for a long time, and then after the revolution of 1917, he remained at his post, but then he felt quite isolated. He left the United States, did a tour of the United States, and then he lived in Paris till the end of his life. So we are going to hear Glazunov's Autumn from his orchestral work, The Seasons. There are three movements to Autumn, a bacchanal, a petit adagio, and a variation on the satyr. So the bacchanal is obviously based on the Roman god Bacchus. And the satyr, you know, were characterized as lovers of wine and music and dancing and women. And they were companions of the Greek god Dionysus. So again, this is sort of that circle of Roman, Greek, neoclassicism, you know, embracing the great, you know, heroic times of Greece and Rome. So we're going to listen to this beautiful piece. And I think it's unknown to some of our listeners, so I'm very excited to play it.
All right. Just like the last set, we'll play those three, one right after the other. Take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
are back listening to music about the seasons. Specifically, we've been talking about the fall and so forth. I'm Mike Maino. Pamela Pantos from the Newport Music Festival is once again telling us everything we want to know. And I'm always excited to learn things that I didn't know before. And she can tell me those things.
It's such fun, you know, to do all this research. And I learn a lot myself. So it's such a pleasure doing these programs, Mike. I have to say thank you.
Great.
So our last selection is probably the four seasons that are the most known by our listeners, namely the Vivaldi. Much like Tchaikovsky and Glazunov, Vivaldi was a teacher. That's how people earned their money back then. They, you know, most of them couldn't just be composers because they didn't have enough patronage. Mozart was, you know, one of the, I'd say, individuals who gained patronage, but he lost it also quite quickly. So, you know, that was very difficult as well. Nonetheless, Vivaldi, from 1704 to 1740, was the director at the Ospedale della Pietà, which was basically for orphan girls in Venice. It was usually illegitimate female children of noblemen. So they had mistresses and they had these illegitimate children. They didn't know what to do with them. They didn't want to discard them, quite literally. So they had this ospedale. And so all of these young women were very well cared for by, you know, their fathers. And so Vivaldi was there and taught them how to play. So he wrote, you know, it's amazing looking at the Four Seasons, how much music Vivaldi wrote and how much great music. So, you know, that's probably, as we start to plan for the 2019 season, I've been listening to a great deal of beautiful small masses and, you know, pieces for just a couple of instruments, because he kept writing music for all of these young women to perform week after week. Basically, with his Four Seasons, he created the concerto structure that, you know, that's fast, slow, fast that we're used to hearing today. And other Baroque composers had done it, but he really formalized the structure and made it, you know, what then Beethoven took over and things like that. So what's interesting about the Four Seasons is Vivaldi not only wrote the music, but he wrote the poetry. And it's almost the first kind of programmatic music that we listened to a lot last year when we were listening to like Danse Macabre. Yeah, it sounds like what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So that's what he tried to do here. And he wrote poetry so that the listeners would understand what he was going for. So let's hear the poetry. From that first piece, the Allegro. The peasant celebrates with song and dance, the harvest safely gathered in. The cup of Bacchus flows freely, and many find their relief in deep slumber. The Adagio Molto. The singing and dancing die away as cooling breezes fan the pleasant air, inviting all to sleep without a care. And the Allegro. The hunters emerge at dawn, ready for the chase, with horns and dogs and cries. Their quarry flees while they give chase. Terrified and wounded, the prey struggles on, but harried, dies. So again, you know, these themes that we heard all evening about the hunt and about Bacchus and about the wine and, you know, the dancing. And so let's end with these three wonderful movements from Vivaldi's Four Seasons, his Concerto in F major, Opus 8 number 3. And this is Sarah Chang playing with the Orpheus Chamber Ensemble.
You know, the only thing I wish is that we did have a camera in here so our audience could appreciate how dramatic and involved you are when you're talking about these subjects. Great job, Pamela.
Thank you so much.
And we'll listen to those pieces and then see you again soon on the Newport Music Festival special presentation.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.